I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled right here. On a Tuesday edition of the program, we're here at the City Creek Center. We're here at the Cafe Rio, the brand-new location right here downtown, their flagship store now. Beautiful location. You want to come down. And if you're already doing some shopping, come grab something to eat at the old Cafe Rio. Scott, I am so excited. We've got Coach Tim Lacombe this hour who's going to come and break down some Utah Jazz for us as the Jazz got a big W last night at home. They looked really, really good last night. That Portland Trailblazers team is not good on the road at all. But guess what? I'll take it. I don't care. I'll act like the Jazz is the best team we've ever seen. But that does not matter now.
I've got to go into fan mode.
You're gonna go into fan mode?
Yeah, I figured
Jazz
this out.
Jazz fan mode? Yep. Is that what you're doing?
I got to go into.
Oh, boy.
We can talk about it later. But
we'll get into it. Yeah. We'll get into it. We've got so much to jump into.
I'm going into fan mode.
We're
going
to start off, as we always do, every portion of the program that we kick off the program with. It is called The Cut, so let's go ahead and do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Like, some dudes wandering by from the Russian Winter Olympic team, bro. Did you see that?
No, I didn't pay attention. I'm looking at the college.
I know you are. I know you are. The cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a free offer. College football playoff rankings rolling out right now. As we watch it roll out in front of our very eyes, we will. We'll get to exactly where you want to be here. I don't want to do the same rollout thing of this person or that. I just want to go straight to the ones that matter the most. The Utah Utes have moved up in the top 25. They were 19 last week. They are number 17 in the college football playoff rankings this week. Scott, high or low for the Utes? Considering that they just keep getting better.
I don't think it really matters at this point.
I guess because they played Colorado, maybe it's not really like something that's going to be blow anybody away. They just took care of business and got it done.
I think the positioning is settling fairly close. I mean, Ohio State's going to drop significantly. You're going to get some other teams if they lose. You know, they're going to drop. The most fascinating thing about all of this, though, to me, is if you're a BYU fan, you're massively cheering for Utah this week.
You should be, right?
Massively cheering. I mean, because
you want Baylor to look good. Yeah, BYU came out of this ranking, went up one spot from 13 up to number 12 in the college football playoff ranking, which everybody's been kind of looking at as a magical number
right. For
that New Year's Six game and the possibility of being there. They are at number 12 this week. Now,
and
things
Oregon's
can obviously shift around. Oregon's number 10.
So they would go up at least one spot if Utah wins. And there are other teams that play. Like Oklahoma State is going to play. They're going to play Baylor.
They're playing
right?
Baylor, yeah.
And so
one of those teams is going to lose.
They're 6-7.
Hey, and if you're BYU, if you had your druthers and you're BYU, you kind of want Baylor to win because that's one of your losses this year too, right?
What was I saying a couple? What did I say a week ago?
Kiss your mom.
I have
a very simple way,
very legitimate, not pie in the sky, not just whatever. The BYU could end the regular season in the college football playoffs at number 10. And that could realistically happen. Oregon loses, Baylor loses, and BYU is in the top 10.
It's interesting.
And maybe even if Oklahoma State loses, they would probably go past them at 11 or something like that. I mean, it's very possible.
I guess you weren't going to see a ton of movement there for Utah. I do think that they're better than that 17 ranking. And I think that a lot of people look at BYU and say they're not as good as that number 12 ranking that they're getting.
So the rankings are
what they are, though.
But doesn't that make you feel like why you would want to expand the college football playoffs? Because if you have a team like Utah, let's say Utah wins the Pac-12, and they're a team
they
that
get
was
up to 14
early
or like
early
that, yeah.
on they were trying to figure things out, right? They were trying to figure out, you know, who their quarterback. They had a young defense. They were talented, but they just were really inexperienced. And as the season went on, they became this pretty darn good football team, maybe the best in the Pac-12. And just because they had early season losses to BYU and to San Diego State, who are in the top 25, who are good football teams, not like they were garbage or something.
Right.
And they lost to Oregon State, who's a, you know, it's that one loss a year kind of thing you have in your conference. You would say that's why you want to expand these playoffs, because then you're getting the teams that are playing the very best at the end of the year are playing each other in the playoffs, and now, that's what you want.
Now, check this out. Number one and number two have been revealed. Number one is not a shock, of course. Georgia is 12-0, and they're number one on this list.
I'm totally not. I'm not convinced with Georgia yet. I'm not.
Scott actually made an argument, and I kind of started to believe it, too, where you started to go through their schedule, and you went, who really has been these amazing teams that they've been playing this year? And really, it's not as tough as you would have thought. But your number one team is Georgia. Number two is Michigan.
Wow.
Michigan jumps from that five spot all the way up to number two, a place we've never seen Michigan before in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
And there Jim Harbaugh and his team are at number two. They must have just been absolutely going berserk there in Ann Arbor as they saw that one roll out. Because I thought that they could have been as high as three, but two is actually a shock to me. I thought that maybe Alabama would stay there, or maybe even Cincinnati would move up. But obviously, that's not the case. In fact, Georgia's one, Michigan two, Alabama is three. And so it makes us start to look already and see if Cincinnati is going to stay pat at that number four spot, or if it's like we're just waiting for that slow motion car wreck.
That would just be the
Cincinnati just getting
the coolest, meanest thing in the world.
Just getting the rug pulled out from under these guys after the season that they've had and after the last couple seasons that they've had. And so as they roll this top four in the college football playoff out, it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks to see how this plays out, because right now as it is, you have Georgia at number one, and you could see Alabama supplant them. If Alabama beats Georgia, do they go to the new number one? If they beat Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, do they stay at that number two spot?
As Cincinnati
they're
hanging on, folks.
They're hanging on for dear life at that number four spot, and they're just waiting.
So you have if Georgia beats Alabama,
yes.
Right? So Alabama's gone. They're out.
Alabama would be out.
Alabama might go to 10.
Right.
Then you have Oklahoma State.
Who's at number five. They moved up two spots to number five, yeah.
Which is crazy. And then you have Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, number six.
Yeah.
So you've got Notre Dame waiting in the wings. If Oklahoma beats Baylor in the Big 12 championship game and Georgia beats Alabama, why would you make the argument that Notre Dame would jump over Oklahoma State for that fourth spot or for a third spot in that college football playoff? There's just no way. And Cincinnati lost the head-to-head to Notre Dame. This is working out perfectly for Cincinnati fans. But you want Alabama to lose so that you have a little bit more of a solid footing for you to be able to stay in that thing. Because if they don't,
what I really hope,
the only place you can get in is that fourth spot, and that's just such a hard deal. And Baylor went down one spot to number nine to make room for Ole Miss, who's number eight. Ohio State is down those five spots to number seven. Notre Dame at number six.
See, when
six.
You're Notre Dame, you're Ole Miss. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
You're Ohio State. You guys are just sitting there. You can't. You're not going to play this week. So
yeah.
You're just whatever happens above you and below you is really going to have
some
determination.
Oklahoma goes to 14. two behind BYU, and they have nothing. They're just going to be in a bowl game.
Yeah.
They're just waiting for a bowl game to get played. And so they don't have any way to be able to improve their stock except for people losing in front of them. And for BYU, that's the same thing.
See,
they're waiting to see people lose in front of them. If all these teams are to lose, you know, in that 7-8-9 spot, then BYU's just hoping that they end up not getting pushed all the way back. That they just that they put those teams far enough back for BYU to get to that 11.
You look at 11 through 15, and you were asking me earlier. Do I think that Utah's a better team? I think they're better than Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think they're better than Iowa. I think they're better than Oklahoma. And I think they're better than Pitt, who
yeah,
is
right.
11, 13, 14,
right,
and 15.
Right.
And I'm not sure where BYU is now because BYU's kind of banged up. I mean they've had an incredible year, but I'm not so sure. You know,
Scott, they got the head to head with Utah.
Oh no, you can't argue that at all, right?
No, but that's what I'm saying is that. But people will make that argument, and so my question is, when Utah does beat number 10 Oregon, where do they realistically end up on this list? Because they have the benefit of being number 17, but playing a team that is seven slots ahead of them, and if they get that win, I could see them.
I think they jump into like 12.
So they'd be like right on the heels of BYU, you're saying, in that play, or maybe even they jump them. Because I'm anticipating fully that BYU is going to get jumped by Utah in the next playoff rankings.
You can't have three losses and then lose head to head and jump ahead of a team.
I don't think so.
I just don't think that.
But those losses, it was a different team, Scott.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Why doesn't that come into effect?
It doesn't play into anything they do. The head-to-head matters, and it significantly matters. But there are some real possibilities. And by the end of the day, when the season's completely over, the bowl season's over, you realistically could have Utah and BYU in the top 10 in the country. And that's remarkable here in the state of Utah to have two programs in the top 10 in the country. And as college football unfolds, and as really these new conference alignments unfold, the college football playoffs expands, I believe you're going to see more and more of that. And you're going to see more and more of it. A lot of it is that these kids in high school are getting so much better coaching, and you're getting better players here in the state of Utah, and people understand how to recruit, and they understand how to play and how to win. At Utah and BYU, and Kalani's done a great job there with recruiting.
We walked a little bit through that top 10. You saw those top 10 teams. That top four, I'm still interested to see how they're going to figure out a way to leave some of these teams out. It's just going to be so hard for Cincinnati to play a Houston team. And then try to kind of compete at that same level.
They're going to change the college football playoffs, right? It's going to expand.
Right. At
this point, it's like we can let Cincinnati in.
Fine. And we'll let you guys in.
You actually want to cheer for them because then you have the argument that, you know what, this is why we should expand the playoffs. If Cincinnati goes in and competes, if they're not blown out of the water, and they're not a pretender, and they actually can compete, then you have a massive argument that yes, college football playoff expansion should be and will be a very good thing
because you're
going to get some good teams.
The Big 12 and the new version of the Big 12 would be right now if the Big 12 were what it were, was what it was, or it, is what
we
it's
are
going
what
to
we
be.
Are. They it would they be. Were who they were. We thought they were,
and we let them off the hook. So here's what it would look like. Cincinnati, who's going to the Big 12, is number four in that college football playoff. Yep. Number five is Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Number eight is Baylor.
Yes.
Number 12 is BYU.
Yes.
Oklahoma's at 14. They're going to be out of the conference, and they have a big red arrow next to their name. They're the ones who are headed backward. Now, if you're just joining us, BYU is number 12 in the college football playoff ranking, the newest one from this week. Utah's number 17. Your 11 through 15 goes Michigan State 11, BYU 12, 13 Iowa. Oklahoma goes down to 14, four spots down to 14. Pitt is up 2 to 15. And again, Pitt's one of those teams I have no clue who they are. You know what I mean? Wake Forest is up two spots as a 10-2 team now to number 16. Utah is at 17. They're three losses. And NC State is three losses, and they're at 18. San Diego State is number 19 on this list, which is interesting because, you know, obviously they're the Mountain West championship favorites going in this weekend against Utah State. But Clemson is up to number 20. Isn't that funny how we threw those guys out at the beginning of the year, right? And we go, nah, they don't mean anything. But they had they've won nine games now, and they're 9-3, and it's the ACC, so no one cares. But there you go. Houston is 21, which is good for that AAC championship game because you're going to have Houston, who's in the top 20. They're number 21, and they're 11-1 taking on Cincinnati. That's good for Cincinnati.
I got a fun thing for you here.
What, that there are 2 4-loss teams from the SEC in the top 25 in the college football player?
Who cares about all
that? Arkansas and Texas A&M, those two teams, man.
Here's something I think is interesting.
What do you got?
What does BYU have coming back next year? Most of their team, right?
Yeah.
They're still relatively.
Significant piece with Tyler Allgeier probably moving on, but yeah.
But aside from that.
Yeah, still some young guys.
A lot of the defense coming back.
Sure.
Quarterbacks coming back, looks like. And you have Utah. Similar, right? There's some key pieces that are going to leave. Britton Covey probably leaves. Nick Ford.
Even more so, they'll have a lot of their big skill guys all coming back.
I would not be surprised. And I've got to make an assumption. I've got to make the assumption Utah wins the Pac-12, goes to Rose Bowl. Doesn't matter what they do in the Rose Bowl. And BYU plays in a bowl game, whatever. I would not be surprised preseason projections for Utah and BYU at least in the top 15.
See, but that's what's interesting is that
they'll be ranked and they'll be in the top 50.
Maybe Utah, but I'll tell you what, because Utah will have played if BYU does play in a more premier bowl, maybe. And if they win it, then maybe.
Yeah.
Because last year after Zach Wilson left, it was still tough for BYU to get the same type of recognition at the beginning of the year. But I'll tell you what's going to happen is that they'll go into that season. And I think that Utah will be up there pretty high, but you're still going to see, because the Lincoln Riley moved to USC, they're going to be a top 20 team. You've stinking watched, Scott. USC going to be in the top 18 or something like that at the beginning of the year.
Well, you're going to have USC, you're going to have Oregon, you have
Texas
Utah.
Is going to be number 24, even though they're going to be like, well, but their recruiting class is number
– North Carolina will be up
Why
there.
Why would North Carolina be there? just because Mac Brown
is
there.
Yeah, because they had him there a year ago.
It's just so bad to watch all these teams that they always list in the top 25. We just end up being
there
garbage.
There were people at the beginning of the year that a lot of people thought Washington was the team to beat in the Pac-12.
Oh, my heavens. We, at Pac-12 Media Day, we were like this. And we kind of bought in. We're like, that's Jimmy Lake. They're projected to finish either first or second in the Pac-12 North.
He didn't even make it through the season.
He didn't make it through the season.
Think
about how wild it is. Wazoo and Washington – here, if somebody would have showed up, some magical leprechaun from Notre Dame, Scott, would have shown up and said, Wazoo and Washington won't finish the season with their coaches, you'd go, ooh, what a nasty season. Oh, no, but Washington State will almost be in the Pac-12 championship game. And you go,
and they're
huh?
the better team.
And you go, No. Just listen, it's going to happen, and this is how it's going to roll out. Rolovich is going to roll it out. He's not going to roll up his sleeve, and then he's going to be rolled out of town. So there you go. Okay.
I don't blame him, though.
What, for getting out of the palouse?
Yeah, just really. It's like, I've been there.
That's the long game of him being like, you know
you're talking about your places to go and be a call. That's not one of them.
That's not one?
No. And any place in, like, New Mexico or Texas El Paso, they're not good coaching spots.
Do you think those would be, like, those would be coaching hell? You get, like, vanquished to, like, some sort of, like, outer rings, the darkness of coaching.
Now, Washington, on Lake Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad.
It's good stuff. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. but what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.